With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, so Chris Sims does his top 40 quarterbacks every year, and he ranks his top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's ranked Davis Mills. He counts down from 40 down to 1. I don't know where he is in the countdown. He's the only one I've seen is 31 through 40. He may have gone further than that, but that gives you an idea of where Davis Mills is. Here's what he said about Davis Mills. We're going to play some audio from Chris Sims in just a moment here. This was his tweet, Seth, about Davis Mills. Up and down early last year, but came back a different player down the stretch. Knows how to read defenses and move in the pocket. Not a huge arm, but can make all the throws. Texans may have a diamond in the rough, and he deserves a shot to prove it. Hashtag Sims top 40. Now, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, of which Davis Mills is one of them. I would read that assessment of Davis Mills, and I would think, okay, I'm probably somewhere between 20 and 30, you know, with a little bit of unknown, but there's mostly positive in that tweet right there. He's 35th. He's not even one of the top 32 quarterbacks, according to Chris Sims. And he is, not just that he's 35th, these are the quarterbacks that he is behind. This is 31 through 34. These are the only ones I've seen so far. 31, Trey Lance, who's played like two games. 32, Sam Darnold, if you're asking me who I'd rather have, Davis Mills or Sam Darnold, give me Davis Mills all day long. Geno Smith is 33. Tyler Huntley is 34. Davis Mills, 35. Just ahead of his former teammate, Tyrod Taylor at 36.
It gets weirder when you go and watch the Chris Sims, I think it's Chris Sims Unbuttoned, is his podcast.
Okay,
because it's what he tweeted was nice about Davis Mills. I went to the podcast, Sean, and it was like 10 minutes of unrestrained gushing about Davis Mills and how promising he is, and just what a to how much more impressive he was than he thought he'd be.
Which do we want to... We've got the audio. Which do you want to hit first here?
I'll come off with... This was the closest thing, and he started off with this. This was the closest thing that Chris Sims had said about Davis Mills that was criticism.
He does have a few mechanical things where I go, like Joe Burrow did last year to throw the ball harder and stronger. Davis Mills can fix a few mechanics in his game to allow him to throw the ball a little more explosively too.
Yeah. So, and he talked about he's got a little bit of a long release. He brings his arm back a little too far sometimes. And he brought that up mostly just because the picture they were showing was of him locked in that position.
Okay.
And that was good and valid in criticism, I think. He talked about, you know, Aaron Rodgers had the same thing. He had to work on mechanics there. He hosts this podcast. Who is that guy? That guy from...
I'm looking at him right now. He looks familiar. I don't know his name.
Yeah. At the description of the podcast, this is like his co-host. Oh, it's Paul somebody.
Okay.
Or his last name is Paul. Anyway, there's no description of the guy. It's just, this is the Chris Sims podcast.
It's the button down podcast, and it looks like the logo is an homage to Chris Sims' gimmick where he buttons his top button all the time.
Unbuttoned podcast.
Oh, it's the unbuttoned podcast. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So that was... That was probably the most critical he'd been. And then he went on to talk about how the season went for him and how he came back better the second time.
hey, he's a rookie and he was on not a very good team that couldn't run the ball.
And then got to go to the bench and kind of think about it a little
reassess,
bit.
Reassess, right?
Yeah.
It's a big thing. Again, yeah. Reassess, take a deep breath. Wait, why am I making this so hard? Damn, coach just said go 1-2-3. Why the f*** am I going 1-3-4 and doing all this shit? So, yeah, he came back a different player.
Stats say it.
The stats say it. The film says it. He came back more confident and sure of himself.
Ooh, that is unbuttoned.
Paul Burmeister.
Yeah.
So Paul Burmeister in here chopping it up. And you know the funny thing was on the they bleeped out the F word, but not the S word on that one. I almost messed it up. I was going to send it to Ben without alerting him to that. So, yeah, he lets it go on the podcast,
okay,
Sean.
It is indeed an unbuttoned podcast. Yeah,
I mean, that sounded more like of an indictment of the Texans than it was a Davis Mills himself. And I do think that matches what a lot of us saw, which was when he came back the second time, you could see that his command at the line of scrimmage was a lot better, that he was different. Maybe looked better than the 35th best quarterback in the NFL. Guy that shouldn't, yeah.
Sure was some sugar he sprinkled on him there. Is there more? Is there more from Christopher Sims?
He has, yes. He thinks that, Chris Sims thinks that Davis Mills also has pocket presence.
He is good in the pocket. I mean, he plays big in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He moves well in the pocket.
He's shift and he's, slide. I
mean, exactly.
Much better than I thought.
Exactly, right? When you turn it on.
Yeah.
Probably the number one shocking thing to me. Pocket presence and even the ability to get out of the pocket.
A little bit.
Right. You're not going to go, oh my gosh, wow. But if the pocket collapses or there's trouble, he's a good enough athlete to get out, run for a few yards, 5-10 yards, or, you know, make a throw on the run.
Yeah, but he's no Geno Smith, evidently, though.
I'm not just cherry-picking the good stuff, by the way. I had to cut out a lot of good stuff that he was saying about Davis Mills. Oh, so aside from, okay, Davis Mills has to work on a few things mechanically, but he showed a lot of growth and came back smarter in the second half of last season. He has pocket presence. Oh, and by the way, Sean, he's also advanced for his age.
His ability to play the position is, you know, pretty advanced for the age that he's at right now.
All right.
Yeah. So I can't wait to hear what he says about Justin Fields and all these other guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The one that's ranked 27th is going to sound like he's getting ready to go to Canton.
We've gone through this was a full, I think it was about 10 minutes of podcast where the only negative thing he said about Davis Mills was that early in the season, he wasn't going through his progressions well, but then he got really good at it at the end of the season.
The one thing he brought up, he actually got better at as the year went on.
Well, and he brought up that he needs to work on some mechanical issues. But this is where it all comes to a head, is that I think that Chris Sims kind of did like a cursory ranking of these guys, and I don't think he has confidence in the opinion of Chris Sims. Because listen to how apologetic he sounds as he explains why he ranked Davis Mills where he did.
I know he's a nerd and he works hard and he's all into the craft. And, and again, me knowing the jumps that guys make from year one to year two, that's where I think it justified putting him ahead of guys like Tyrod Taylor, Gardner Minshew, and Teddy Bridgewater and company.
Okay.
So there you go.
How do you justify putting him behind Geno Smith and Tyler Huntley and Sam Darnold?
That's the big one, the Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. I guess putting him in front of those three guys, Gardner Minshew, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, if you wanted to take up for any one of those guys, you could come up with an argument, I suppose. But I certainly wouldn't, especially Bridgewater, I think. But I certainly wouldn't act like it was apologetic about doing it, or like this was the weirdest thing. I'm more honestly intrigued and interested in knowing why those rookies, most of whom, other than Mac Jones, didn't have a better year than Davis Mills. Like, why did he choose all those guys to be ranked ahead of Davis Mills?
The only thing I'll say to take up for Sims is I don't fully know what his criteria is for these ratings. And so the angle that I'm coming at it at, as somebody who roots for the Texans, covers the Texans, wants the Texans to do well, is who do I want Davis Mills over this quarterback? Like, who do I want to be the quarterback of my football team? I want Davis Mills. Yeah, he should be in my rankings. He should be ahead of Minshew, Bridgewater, and Tyrod Taylor in my mind. In the same way, he should be ahead of Darnold and Geno Smith. And so part of that is, okay, the Texans are in a different part of their life cycle than other teams might be. Some team that's ready to win now would probably want Teddy Bridgewater ahead of Davis Mills just because they know what they're getting in Bridgewater. He's won before on teams with good veteran rosters and things like that. So I'm looking at it through a Texans prism where I'm like, well, no, I want the unrealized upside of a younger guy who's shown that he can do some things.
Yeah.
You know?
And by the way, the way I started that one cut where he started off with he's a nerd, he did mean that in a positive way. He was talking about his studiousness and all that stuff.
I think our show is generally a show that defaults positively towards nerds. I think nerd on this show is generally a term of affection on this show.
Yeah, every now and then I get shocked where somebody asks why I'm being mean to somebody, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And they're like, you call them a nerd. I'm like, I'm not that guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
Ogre.
The ogre. Yeah. I'm not ogre. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, come on. We've lived through, ever since Ogre ruled... What was the name of that school in Revenge of the Nerds?
Adams College.
Adams College.
They were the Adams really right Adams.
From that period forward, the nerds have gained power and control in this country to the point where I'd be foolish to ever say anything about a nerd in anything more than a glowing attitude or vibe, yeah.
When's the last time you watched Revenge of the Nerds?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I know it's probably not. I'm sure it sucks.
No. It's still good. I still enjoy it. I still like it. It's just interesting what was viewed on movies in the 80s as sort of just acceptable ha-ha kind of stuff that probably
on movies these days.
Yeah. Like I actually did a podcast a couple of years ago with somebody who hosted a pop culture, like an 80s pop culture podcast. They followed me on Twitter and they said, oh, Sean would be a good person to have come on. And they do like breakdowns of 80s movies. So they had me on to do Revenge of the Nerds. So we did a thing where we counted how many felonies were committed on Revenge of the Nerds. You know, both various atrocities against the nerds themselves and things like the nerds putting in spy cameras in the sorority houses and you know, doing voyeuristic things, stuff like that.
Yeah, or basically seducing a woman under false pretenses woman being like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that
You're amazing.
You're a different person than I thought you were?
Yeah.
Carry on.
You nerd are way better at things that my beefcake boyfriend does not want to do with me. Good job.
Yeah, there was a boy. You're right.
You should rewatch it. One. Yeah, you'll look at it differently. It's an interesting rewatch.
There's a bunch of Harvey Weinsteins running around.
Got that right. Yep.
Omega House.
Louis Skolnick, America's Most Wanted. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Jimbo Fisher, I counted six different times in just the Q&A portion of his press conference yesterday, where he went off on Nick Saban. I counted six different times where he made either veiled or very thinly veiled assertions that Nick Saban has been a cheater. We will power rank the six of the assertions next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.